I'm Jane Johnson, and you're listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast, a series of insightful interviews with real women who tell their real life stories as working mothers. We don't preach, we definitely don't have all the answers, but we do offer different perspectives. For details about all the other support we offer, please visit www.careeringintomotherhood.com. My guest today is Jodie Robertson. Jodie and I met when our boys were really, really young, and she had a corporate job, which about a year ago she decided to leave in order to set up her own business. She set up her own business, however, as a travel designer, holiday designer, specializing in families and going all over the world. Of course, then the pandemic hit, but her business has continued, and I wanted to speak to her about how she has done that, how she's felt, and what she thinks it takes to step away from the comfort of a corporate job and go it on your own to try and make some of your career dreams and aspirations come true. So thank you very much, Jodie. It's brilliant. I know we first met over a highly chlorinated swimming pool when our boys were about 3 months old or something. And we were just like, okay, we've got to get them in a swimming pool first. We've got to find activities. We've got to do things.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, as you say, I mean, how funny. We literally had our boys and then put them in a swimming pool straight away, didn't we? Get them accustomed to water immediately. You know, it was one of those things where I relished getting out and about with Riley when he was young. I had to for my own sanity, I think.
Yes.
And it helped me massively as well, hopefully learning him some key life skills as well in terms of being able to swim. So yeah, it was a wonderful activity and one that we both thoroughly got something out of as well. I hope you guys did too.
Yes, yeah. I think most of the thing I learnt exactly how loud a scream is in a swimming pool.
The echoes didn't help, did it, in that environment? Didn't need it.
But I have to be honest, I don't really know what it was you were doing. I know you were you had a corporate role, and obviously you went back after your maternity leave, and I know you were traveling quite a lot, weren't you?
Yes, I did. So yeah, so I worked for a global money transfer company for well over 16 years actually, so I was very much in the corporate world. But yeah, I actually had a career break during that time to travel around the world, but I'd worked there for the majority of my career. And my last role with them was heading up a team of key account managers. So I was the head of key accounts for UK and Ireland. And then I had a very experienced team of account managers who drove revenue for the business through our retail and digital partnerships. So I'd lead and manage that team. It's a bit of football terminology here, but I had a player manager role. So I also looked after a couple of strategic accounts as well.
Right. And so when you went back, did you go back full time?
Yeah, it depends how you perceive it. But yeah, so I worked Monday to Thursday. It felt very full time during that period of time. And I wasn't very good in the sense of my Fridays, as much as I always aimed to be off on that Friday. I got better, I must admit, after my boss told me to get better at doing it and switching off. But those first few, I would say probably, 9 to 12 months of that Friday wasn't quite my Friday. So there was a real mix of, like I say, me trying to stop myself from looking at the phone on that Friday and trying to shut myself off. But inevitably, I'd always have a quick glance or a quick scroll through the emails as well. But yes, I was lucky enough that my company did agree to Monday to Thursday.
Yeah, but people always say lucky enough, but actually your experience is really common. And I think this is where I'm such a fan of job shares, because when you're not in the office, somebody else is. So you have, if you can develop this ultimate trust with the other person, then you don't need to have that feeling of, oh God, I better just check the emails or see what's come in and so on. So you didn't have anyone else covering you. Obviously you had your team, but you didn't have anyone else covering you on your day off.
No, I didn't. Like I say, at that time, I had an incredibly supportive boss who absolutely helped him and would almost, if he ever saw me emailing or replying to anything, he would go back and go, what are you doing? Stop. Which, absolutely. And again, I don't think you'd often get that or hear about that.
Yes. So when did you talk me through your decision to leave and when you left and obviously why?
Bit of a long one, but late 2019, the company did its usual thing, going through a global restructure. It's nothing new. I'd been there before many times, but this time it actually felt different for me. Previously I could see how I could mould myself to the changes or needs of the company. But this time, my role was actually changing dramatically to suit the needs of the business. And I knew that that wasn't for me personally, nor did it, you know, adhere to my skill set either. And a bit of a sort of personal journey here as well, but I'd reached my own personal burnout in late 2019 as well. I put unnecessary pressure on myself. I tried to be everything to everyone. And I left my own personal needs behind as well. And sad to say, and going quite deep here, straight arched early on, I didn't sleep for a week. I wasn't eating enough. I lost weight. And for, you know, me, Jane, I'm a long-limbed person and that doesn't look good. But I was, you know, I laugh, but I was at my absolute worst. And my, you know, my husband called it and he said, you know, enough's enough. And he rightly sent me to the doctors. And I remember that phone call with the doctor and saying, you just need to stop. You know, you need to get off this hamster wheel. And he signed me off work for a week. And for me, that was completely unheard of. I rarely took a sick day. You know, I even if I was ill, I'd still have my laptop and carry on working and checking emails and stuff. But do you know what? It was exactly the turning point that I needed. I shut myself off for a week. I went for long walks in Richmond Park. I went back to basics. I started cooking. I read books. And most important, I wrote down what was important to me and it put things into perspective. And so whilst I look back and I'm almost, and I don't know why I feel this shame, but I'm almost annoyed at myself that that happened. But do you know what? It needed to happen because I got to that point of complete exhaustion and, I'd say, energy levels and stuff like that.
Why do you say that you're annoyed with yourself that it happened, that you let it get to that point?
Yes, absolutely. Exactly that. That almost I wasn't aware of what I was going through, you know, that I wasn't aware of how I was feeling and what I was doing. And that it got to that point, like I say, where, you know, the sleep deprivation and everything and that knock-on effect that it had. And like I say, you know, for my husband to call it out and to see that, I think was a big thing because I couldn't recognise it in myself.
Yeah, but I think so many of us, and I can't talk about men and being a father because I'm not one. but so many women, I think when you have your job, right, and then you have your baby and you just carry on doing that because those are the things you just have to keep doing.
Yes.
And then you seem to just take on more and more other things, whether it's domestic load or whatever else it might be. It's not until something does break that you think, hang on a minute, something's really wrong here. Otherwise, you just keep going. It's very common.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
And what happened after that?
So that, like I say, that massively put things into perspective for me. I had and I must say, you know, my company were brilliant. I had a very supportive manager as well. But I knew this wasn't about them and that it was about me and that I knew that I needed that change. And I think that's what came out of it, was that I'd been on this, you know, like I say, I'd been there for 16 years and I got into this rhythm that I loved the role in the company, but I wasn't particularly passionate about money transfer, not the most interesting of services that I'm particularly passionate about. So in the background, I'd actually personally invested in some career coaching, as like I say, I knew that something had to change. And this enabled me to see what I could do in the future and that, you know, where the kind of the future, you know, lied for me. And I remember one of the first things, and it's so basic, but she asked me to put and I don't mean that in a, you know, her job's really easy, just more a case of, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of this? Because it was just a brainstorm and it was so powerful because she just asked me to go to a newsagent's, pick up magazines I gravitated towards, be it, you know, interests, hobbies, etc. What did I like? What resonated with me? You know, cut out quotes or pictures that really kind of, you know, took my interest. And I created this collage and it obviously, you know, really highlighted where my areas of passions were. And the two things that came out of that, and it's an absolute cliche, but was an entrepreneurial spirit. I sound like I'm on Dragon's Den. And not Dragon's Den. Oh, gosh, what's it called? The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Well, both have a very big entrepreneurial
and my love for travel. So we went through loads of different scenarios that didn't get much further than the paper it was written on. But we got there in the end. But it wasn't about the end result. For me, it was like the journey that I went on. I don't know about you, but I've never spent time sat down really analysing what I wanted to do aside from, gosh, careers advice at school where they go, do you want to be a secretary or not? You know,
yeah.
You know, back in the day, it was as simple as that.
Yeah, mine was I would be, I love travel and I loved languages, and mine was I could be an air hostess. And I was like, yeah, I don't enjoy cleaning toilets or serving food.
That's it. I mean, you look back and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was known as careers advice at that time. But long story short, I actually decided to kick things off as a bit of a hobby to see if my personal passion could almost sort of cross into my work life.
That's a brilliant piece of advice, actually.
Yeah, I was just, you know, do you make that transition, you know, into something that you really love and love to get away from for work? Or, you know, does it then become work? You know what I mean? It's a really tricky
definitely.
One. So, like I said, it started off as a hobby. I just started a travel blog and then an Instagram page. And it was really just sharing my love for travel. Yeah, which has then enabled me to set up my own business. I offer a personalized travel service. So I bring my relationship skills into play from, you know, my corporate job. I want to get to know that person, what they want from the trip to the very last detail, to the fact that they're kind of imagining where they are on holiday, whether it's, you know, on the beach with a beer in hand or whether it's, you know, being more adventurous. Whatever their preferences are, I tailor that trip to them. And I want it to be completely hassle-free. So I take, you know, all that aspect of, you know, researching, planning, booking. They just need to go away and enjoy themselves. You know, I love doing all of that and I'm a real stickler for it as well.
But I mean, you make it sound like that's all the dream side of it. But then, of course, you've actually got the booking systems and dealing with different hotels and dealing with, I don't know, I mean, all of that side of things. So I guess you must also have somewhere had, whether it came up in your career coaching or whatever, but, you know, a very organized brain, very logistical, very, what's that, methodical.
I think if my friends would describe me, one of the words would come up would definitely be she's organized. I'm the one on the WhatsApp group going, right, come on, guys, where are we going next? What are we doing? When are we doing it? Like I say, I love the researching side of it. Sadly, so I spend hours on my laptop, you know, looking up everything. So, yeah, I do have, I think that's instilled in me. That is my personality. And I think, like I say, the travel side of it does have all of that in it as well. So like I say, whether it's speaking to the travel operators, you know, and really trying to nail down that scenario of what that person wants, to minutia of the detail as well. I've got such an eye for detail, probably annoyingly so as well.
that's what we want if you're booking our flights and travel and everything.
Yeah, too true. But yeah, so it's all those parts that come into it as well, definitely.
Let's talk about how, you know, in terms of going off and setting up your own business. So you were great advice and great idea to start almost as a sort of hobby on or side hustle. And then obviously you went it alone. You bit the bullet, what's the phrase? How did you go about that? You know, setting up in business, you know, do you go limited company? Do you go sole trader, accounts, all of that side of things, the finances?
And that's where I've spent the majority of my time is doing a lot of free courses, you know, be it on LinkedIn, start your own business, down to social media, content planning, networking during COVID times. You know, how do you even do that? And it's been a really weird time as well, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying, but, you know, I'd never done any of that. Like I say, I was very lucky in that I had contacts in the industry through my previous role that I phoned up and I had lots of lengthy conversations about how I go about it, who to speak to, etc. And, you know, that I was able to set myself up as an independent travel agent. It's under the Home Working Agency of Designer Travel. It means I run the business as my own. I have the support of two amazing managing directors, a business development team, and then a network of other like-minded business owners as well. So that support immediately was, you know, laid the foundation of the business moving forward as well. So that played a massive part. But like I say, it was a lot of self-learning. I'm very fortunate in the fact that my husband also runs his own company and, you know, he's had 12 years experience in that. So he was able to guide me as well. And the support of, you know, several friends that had done similar things or been in roles that I could sort of take advice from as well. So really it was just talking a lot.
Interesting though. Yeah. And we have to talk about, Jodie, the fact that I'm laughing, she said nervously, the fact that you've set up a travel business and then obviously the pandemic hit everything has been locked down. And, you know, as a travel, we were talking just last night about, you know, are we going to book a holiday? Are we going to punt it and book a holiday for August? There's so much uncertainty. number one, I suppose you must have gone into this for the long term. And it's interesting that, you know, don't just jack in a job and go off on something that seems like this week's latest good idea. And then how have you mentally, where has your resilience come from with every new government announcement?
Setting up a travel business during a pandemic, you might think I'm an absolute idiot. But do you know what? The funniest thing is that throughout all of this, it feels right. And I can't explain that other than it being a gut feeling that it feels right, and it feels right for me and who I am. And even when I launched the business, and again, that was during the sort of the midst of it, really, so many of my friends and ex-colleagues and, you know, acquaintances and stuff got in contact and said, oh my gosh, this is so right for you. Almost as if they knew that, you know, how have I only just come to this decision? Outside of it knew that this was right for me. You could have told me. It just feels right. And don't get me wrong, oh my God, it is so hard. And you mentioned your resilience. I actually took a course in learning how to be more resilient about a month or so ago, because, it hits you, and it hits you hard with every announcement. And I cannot control it at all. You know, I can't do anything about what the government or, you know, not blaming them, but, what this situation is. So it is entirely frustrating. And I absolutely have days where I'm like, oh, I just have to write it off, because if I'm not feeling motivated or inspired, that's not going to come across in, you know, what I'm trying to get across here. But I also massively believe in it. And that sounds so silly because it's obvious. Of course, I believe in traveling, but I really do. And I think we will get to that point of being able to go away. And, you know, we went away to Mykonos in August, and oh my gosh, that feeling of being somewhere different, not your own front room. And I think, you know, it will get back to that. And I know how I felt when I got away. And there is massive uncertainty at the moment, but I think we're going in the right direction. And like I say, you just have to remain positive about it. And yes, there are definitely days when I don't feel as positive about it, but, you know, ever the optimist, I always try.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I actually think if you are an entrepreneur, or I mean, I don't know, I'd call myself an entrepreneur, but yeah, I run my own business or have run a couple of businesses. I think you have to be fundamentally optimistic, because otherwise you'd never start, because so few people are successful with the very first business that they launch. You know, it's always, I don't know if you're finding this, it's always a slight evolution in terms of what your offering is, who your clients are, where your price point is. You're constantly reevaluating. And therefore, I don't think I'd have ever got back up again if I wasn't an optimist. But I have to believe, the next, like Del Boy, this time next year will be the millionaire.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to be, like you say. And it, like I say, that there are definitely harder days than others. But yeah, I think you need to have that in you. Otherwise, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. And obviously with the schools being closed, because even at the best of times, I always say your own business is literally like having, well, for me anyway, it's like having a second child. Yeah, you almost don't ever stop thinking about it. There are never enough hours in the day to look after it, nurture it, and so on. And that's even just under normal times when the schools are open. But when they're not, I don't know, how are you carving up your working day? How have you found a balance that ensures you're not heading down that burnout route again?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be completely honest with you. That first week of them on the second time around, you know, early January of them being out of school, oh my gosh, that was so tough. Almost having to do it the second time round, I think, didn't help me personally. But like I say, and I know, we had a chat offline earlier about it in the sense of managing my own expectations. And it was exactly that. And the days where it wasn't working, I didn't fight it. I think it was actually the first day because, my son had an inset day on the Monday. So actually school wouldn't have started until the Tuesday. And that first day, it wasn't working. And I went, you know what? You know, we're going to stop. We put on a film, made some popcorn, and we just... I didn't fight it. So that helps massively. Obviously, I can't carry on like that continually because that wouldn't work either. My son would be a film buff, but, you know. That's very but no, I think we've now found our rhythm. So my husband and I share, you know, mornings, afternoons. We find that our son's much more productive in the morning. We make sure we get out, you know, once a day. We have a routine and a schedule now, which is not, by any stretch, as I've just mentioned, it's very fluid. You know, it's not kind of regimental, regimented. So that helps. But yeah, it's about, I think, finding your own rhythm and what works for you as a family. And I think, you know, first week, nope, we didn't do that very well. But second week, we got into it and managed to do it. And yeah, it's not ideal. You know, we have to work in the evening sometimes. And so you're kind of shifting your work patterns to accommodate it. But I know personally, again, that I can't do both. You know, I can't sit there on the laptop whilst our son's doing homeschooling. I have to be fully in his and give him the attention that he needs to make sure that we get it done in the best way that we can, I guess. It's hard. Yes. It's really hard.
It's really hard. Yes. I'm now looking for some travel tips then. So where's going to be hot in 20? I don't mean literally hot.
Otherwise
where are we going to be able to go in 2021? I mean, are you finding more people are inquiring about staycations, or are people still optimistic?
Yeah, there's a definite mix. Obviously, yeah, the staycation has increased massively, and do you know what, I am a massive advocate of that. You'll see on my Instagram that I shout about it quite loudly and proudly.
Well, you posted some amazing places you yourself had done this trip, a family trip to the Isle of Wight. And I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. And then did you mention about, was it Perthshire and the Isles of Scotland?
That's it, Isle of Skye. Yeah, oh, they're stunning. You don't realise how beautiful your own doorstep is. And I think we'd always passed it off for long haul and, you know, sunnier climates, but obviously, you know, we had great weather last year as well, which obviously helped us all. But yeah, I mean, you know, going to explore the UK, I'd absolutely recommend it. If you're not feeling comfortable getting on a plane and flying, then definitely have a look on what's on your doorstep, because like I said, we have an absolutely stunning country that we live in, and there are some beautiful places. And like I say, if you're looking for any inspiration, I'm happy to help. But yeah, I think, you know, as you mentioned, there are still people that, we're one of them, that, you know, very keen to go to Europe at some point this year. I think the longer haul stuff is probably going to be a 2022. It's just my gut feel on it. I think, you know, Europe will be great for this summer. And then hopefully we can ease in to a bit more of a longer haul as countries start to open and accept people, and, you know, they'll have their own regulations on stuff. But yeah, you know, ever the optimist. Like I say, we're keen to get away at some point this summer, and we'll mix that in with a few UK destinations as well.
Yeah. So I have to finish by asking you, what are the top three countries that are on your bucket list?
Bucket list. Oh my gosh. This one, I think, it'll surprise people, but I've only done the east coast of Canada, and I really want to do the west coast, to go and see like the Rockies and the mountains. Sri Lanka, again, I've not done. And again, you know, I think for a complete mix of sort of wildlife and I love a beach. I'm a sucker for a beach. And then, yeah, my last one in terms of like island hopping and really kind of, you know, gorgeous, stunning beaches would be the Philippines.
Oh, really? Yes, I'd love to go there. I'm not sure I'm going to ever get my head around taking a six-year-old there at the moment, but you're really good. I see on your Instagram, you just pack up and off you go, all three of you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we worked out. We took Riley on his first long-haul holiday last year. No, not last year, obviously. 2019, to Bali for 3 weeks, just before he started school, basically, so that we could get away, not in the school holidays. And and he loved it. He absolutely relished it. And, you know, the good thing is at that age as well, he was 5 at the time, give him a tablet, a screen. He was, you know, and we're like that as adults. You know, I get on the plane, I'm like, right, which movies and, you know, what can I watch? So why shouldn't a child be like that, you know? So, he was in his absolute element. Just seeing him, you know, absorbing the culture, the different foods, and, you know, even trying the Latin, I'm not saying he's, you know, fluent in Indonesian, but, you know, he tried the odd word, like, you know, hellos and thank yous and pleases, etc. And gosh, it just, yeah, it was a huge highlight for us. So that just opened things up massively for us, which was a shame because we were supposed to be doing a around the world trip last summer, which of course didn't come to fruition. But it gave us confidence to go, yes, we can travel, you know, with a child further afield. So yeah, do it, Jane. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And where can people find out more about you, if only to just lust after your Instagram account?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram under roundtheworld_Joe, where I do offer a lot of sort of, you know, inspiration and holiday ideas. And then Facebook, which is Jodie Designer Travel, which again is more sort of focused on the holiday offers and deals, and again, a bit of inspiration as well.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, Jodie. And I really do wish you all the best. God, if anyone deserves to succeed, it's you.
Really deserve it. Thank you so much, Jane.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode with Jodie. I think the key things to have come out of it for me were what it takes to set up your own business. So resilience, and that's something I have learnt the hard way myself in running my own business. You need skin thicker than rhino hide, and optimism. So thinking that you're going to make your million or make your 100 or 1,000 in the first year is very, very rare, but stick at it, keep going and keep pivoting, keep tweaking, keep reevaluating, and keep focused on what it is you really want out of that business. Thanks again to Jodie, and we will be back again in a couple of weeks' time.